Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shaily Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Puranwala from Elara Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and we welcome all the participants to the Shaily Limited Q4 FY22 earnings call hosted by Elara Securities. Joining us from the management side, we have Dr. Vikram Shah, Chairman and Managing Director of Shaily, Mr. Sushovan Das Gupta, Vice Chairman and Global President, Mr. Shenay Shah, President, Mr. Venkat Paramasivam, CFO, and Mr. Puneet Maheshwari, Assistant General Manager, Corporate Strategy and Investor Relations. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Puneet Maheshwari for some important disclaimers regarding any forward-looking statements that may be made in the call today. Over to you, Puneet.
Thanks, Abdul. Good afternoon, everyone. Our earnings presentation is uploaded on the stock exchange website and our company website, shaily.org. We do hope you have already had the opportunity to go through the presentation. Please note that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide number 34 of the investor presentation for a detailed disclaimer. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sushovan Das Gupta, Vice Chairman and Global President, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Puneet, and good evening, everyone, and welcome to Shaily's fourth quarter and full year 2022 earnings call. Hope all of you had a good year despite the many challenges we all faced together from the COVID situation. During quarter four full year 2022, Shaily witnessed a strong count in surgical procedures at 5,500+, and inpatient count came over 9,000 as well, which in turn culminated in a decent growth on a year-on-year basis. On a progressive quarterly basis, we saw some moderation in elective surgeries due to the threat arising from Omicron in the first 2 months starting the year 2022. There were not many severe COVID cases, though, and the infection rate was also low, due to which we saw only few cases of COVID admitted to the hospitals. Hence, we can state that this quarter performance is driven by growth mainly from our core businesses. Now, if you look at the full fiscal year 2021-22, the year started with the second wave of the COVID-19, which impacted the lives of many. Throughout the difficult circumstances, all Shaily units, our paramedics and our doctors were totally devoted in saving lives, and I would sincerely like to thank each one of them for rendering this call of duty. In addition, we expanded Shaily Home Care Services, which saw great acceptance among patients, and we completed a total visit of around 61,000 and cases of over 20,000 in full year 2022. This service of home care has also allowed Shaily to reach a large patient base and raise brand recognition, which is expected to drive our occupancy in the longer run. In the second half of the year, we saw a strong rebound in elective surgeries. The recovery was clearly visible across all core specialties such as arthroplasty, cardiac, oncology, nephrology, and others. We crossed the proud mark of 20,000 surgeries in a year and closed the year on a strong note with the highest ever consolidated revenue of rupees 711 crores and adjusted net profits of rupees 72 crores. From a strategic perspective, we undertook various initiatives to improve occupancy levels and brand recognition by leveraging the several of the digital media and our marketing campaigns. We conducted more than 550 healthcare camps and 360 healthcare talks across all units, and Shaily Indore had also launched a free consultation camp through Matritva Care Center on International Women's Day as well, a very proud moment for us. I'm also proud to inform all of you The Shalby Indore unit has organized the first high-definition 3D mapping arrhythmia workshop of the state. 3D mapping is a highly specialized form of treatment for arrhythmia or disorders of heartbeat. A team of cardiologists performed these procedures on 6 such patients. This is the first occasion when such latest and most advanced technology has been used in the state of Madhya Pradesh to treat such heart diseases, and coupled with all the kidney and liver transplant that we perform at Shalby, Ahmedabad, as well as in Indore and as well as in other hospitals, plus some of the complex hip and knee replacement surgeries that we do, Shalby too is a great destination for all types of surgeries that we can offer to patients in India and overseas. Similarly, Shalby Hospital, in association with Jabalpur Orthopedic Association, has conducted demonstration of a first-ever live advanced knee replacement surgery. Subsequently, arranged a conference with the orthopedic surgeons to exchange ideas on the best methods of joint replacement surgeries through surgical and non-surgical methods and various joint diseases. The conference was chaired by our chairman, Dr. Vikram Shah, and was attended by more than 125 orthopedic surgeons from Nagpur, Delhi, Indore, and Madhya Pradesh. We are also highly focused on expanding our footprint through the asset-light franchise model plan, and during the quarter, we have signed 3 more MOUs in the cities of Gwalior, Kanpur, and Lucknow, which is expected to operationalize in the coming years. We have plans to open over 50 Shalby franchise hospitals across India within the next 3 to 4 years and capitalize on Shalby expertise and excellence in orthopedics. Now, a quick update on our U.S. implant business. During the quarter, we have made significant progress on all the critical drivers of our implant business. We have built a team of experienced professionals to lead the key departments and improve the operational capability by 50% in the U.S. Production has been ramped up from 300 components per month to 2,500 plus components per month at the end of the year 2022 and is expected to near 4,500 to 5,000 components per month as we approach the end of this year. Our sales in the U.S. have been improving every passing month, though we suffered a very little setback due to the stoppage of elective surgeries in the U.S. and the supply chain delays posed due to the Omicron threat that loomed large, especially in January of 2022, which we have overcome now. We are strategically shifting our sales ratio more towards retail from wholesale that helps to serve our customers better and results in better realization of our profits. In quarter four, we have recorded total revenue of 10 crores, and we entered the year as of March 22, starting from 16 May 2021, at a total revenue of rupees 31 crores at our U.S. implant business. Recently, we have also received approval to import Consensus implants into the Indian market, which is expected to drive further sales in the coming year. We have launched also a very innovative new knee implant product called TUX. T-U-K-S stands for Tahoe Unicondylar Knee System. Tahoe is named after the Lake Tahoe, which is very close to our factory in El Dorado Hills in California. And the initial response has been very encouraging. We expect TUX or TUKS to drive significant sales in the coming year. We are in advanced discussion phase with distributors in Indonesia to launch our implants in that country and are in active search for distributor partners in Malaysia, Vietnam, and Philippines. The implant manufacturing business is fully in line with our core specialty of arthroplasty, and we remain on track on our annual sales target of rupees 100 crores and be EBITDA positive by end of the full year 2023. These are exciting times for us. We have a very fully synergistic model that will drive sustainable accelerated top line and bottom line growth in the coming years. Now I'll hand over the call to our president, Shanai Shah, to discuss our company's hospital performance. Over to you, Shanai.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining in. It will be unfair if I don't go back 12 months and reiterate the relentless efforts put in by each and every healthcare worker associated with the group, as well as the management during the peak of the second COVID wave in the months of April and May 2021. Today, we can proudly say that Shalby converted a section of each and every unit into a COVID center when the nation's infrastructure was totally stretched. During the year, we undertook various initiatives to improve occupancy levels and brand recognition by leveraging digital media and marketing campaigns from a strategy perspective. We have also conducted more than 900 healthcare camps and healthcare talks across all the units. We continue to showcase our strength, having 350 plus full-time doctors, a large number of visiting consultants, and more than 3,800 employees, while maintaining one of the lowest attrition in the industry. We have successfully concluded our project Samanvay with SAP S/4HANA implementation across all Shalby units. The strategic implementation is quite in line with global practices and also strengthens our financial and operational process by improvising database management, administration, security, real-time access, and advanced analytics to support the business decisions. Furthermore, we have also launched a centralized cloud-based lab information system to produce standardized pathology patient reports and sharing it on real-time basis across all units. Shalby also takes pride in nurturing the young talent and imparts training in healthcare through Shalby Academy. During the year, we have trained more than 1,200 students on various disciplines of physiotherapy, nursing, lab technician, nutrition, clinical, paramedics, hospital management, and pharmacy as part of the academic outreach. Over 200 students have undergone a certification program on various paramedical courses in affiliation with the National Council of Paramedical Department, and many students completed the postgraduate course in hospital management in partnership with various universities. We have been awarded with the most preferred hospital in Madhya Pradesh, the best medical tourism in Gujarat, and also the Six Sigma Excellence Award. We are very happy to receive top industry recognitions and will continue to keep expanding our services, strengthening our brand to serve more patients while maintaining the highest quality of healthcare offerings. Now coming back to the performance numbers, I'm happy to report that Shalby delivered strong operational and financial performance during the year. We recorded the highest ever hospital revenue of 647 crores, a growth of 55% year on year, and an EBITDA of 142.6 crores, up by 49% with a strong margin of 22% and an adjusted net profit of 87.2 crores, up by 77% on a year-on-year basis. At Shalby, we are proud, extremely proud to announce that in FY22, two-thirds of the hospital revenue and half of the hospital EBITDA has come from outside the two flagship units in Ahmedabad. This is despite the flagship units growing and having further room to grow. During the last year, a total of 20,240 elective surgeries were performed, an increase of 70% on a year-on-year basis. We saw a strong jump of 41% for inpatient count, and travel for international patients has also resumed full throttle. Occupied beds increased to 563, up by 31% in FY22. The ARPOB and ALOS were recorded at 33,707 and 4.55 days in FY22 compared to 27,400 rupees and 5.42 days in FY21. Our core specialties such as arthroplasty, critical care and general medicine, oncology, cardiology, orthopedics, neurology and nephrology contributed 29%, 22%, 9%, 8%, 8%, 5% and 3% to the revenues respectively. We continue to generate strong cash flows from the hospital operations of rupees 123 crores driven by self-pay patients mix contributing more than 45%, which helped to strengthen our balance sheet further. Our realized return on capital employed from the hospital business has increased from 8% in FY21 to 14% in FY22. We have also launched an employee stock option scheme for the employees to reward them for their loyalty and performance. This is in addition to the Shalby's Medicos Trust, which was created for rewarding the doctors associated with the group. This is in line with the chairman's objective of wealth creation for all involved in the growth of the company. I now hand over the call to Mr. Venkat to present the company's detailed financial performance for the quarter and the year.
Thanks, Anirudh. Good afternoon, everyone. Now I'll be walking you through the financial performance of the company for the fourth quarter 2022. So first, I'll be running you through the standalone performance of the hospital group, and then I'll be running you through the consolidated financial performance. In FY22, we recorded a spectacular increase of 54% in our revenues to 659 crores on a year-on-year basis. While the first quarter was marked by some impact of COVID, we also saw a significant recovery in revenues from elective surgery in the subsequent quarters. We are also happy to inform that the company achieved all-time peak revenues this year, as Sharmay has already told. The company EBITDA increased from 957 million in FY21 to 1,426 million in FY22, a 49% increase year-on-year. Our EBITDA margins continue to be very strong at 21.6%, again delivering a 20% plus margins on a consistent basis. After making every adjustment for the MAT, we have delivered a net profit of ₹872 million for FY22, a strong increase of 79.1% year-on-year. Now coming to the quarterly performance, the company registered total revenues of ₹1,523 million for Q4 FY22 compared to ₹1,440 million, a growth of 5.8% from the same quarter previous year. EBITDA for the quarter is ₹323 million, again a strong margin of 21.2%. The profit before tax is ₹226 million. The net profit for the quarter was ₹157 million compared to ₹110 million for the same quarter last year. Coming to the consolidated financial results, in FY22, we recorded revenues of 7,114 million, a significant increase of 62% year-on-year. EBITDA was at ₹1,324 million in FY22, a 38.6% growth. The adjusted net profit was ₹716 million, a 32.9% growth year-on-year. Now please note, these consolidated numbers are not totally comparable because of the addition of the SAT business in the current year. So on the SAT performance, as Mr. Sushoban also mentioned, we have touched revenues of ₹310 million in the first year of operations. However, very understandably, it had negative EBITDAs, PAT and PAT in the first year of operations of ₹67 million, ₹170 million and ₹118 million. We are expecting significant increase in the operations in the current year, and we are expecting it to be EBITDA positive for FY23. We have closed the year with cash balances of 1,551 million on a standalone basis and ₹475 million at the group level. That's on the financial performance. I open the floor for any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Sanket from Kedia Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, Sanket.
Firstly, congratulations on good set of numbers. Just wanted a small clarification. Can you tell us about what is the total capacity of the company owned and company operated beds and similarly under the FOFO and the FOSO category? And what is the plan?
Okay. So when we say, Sanket, the total bed capacity of 2,112 beds, these are all operated by the company, and this does not include the FOFO and the FOSO beds at all.
Understood. But when we look at the occupancy rate in this quarter, you had mentioned it was 40% on 500 odd beds. So that comes to around 1,250 beds. So how does the total capacity be 2,112 beds?
Yeah, so I think, we always say that our operational beds are 1,235 if you look at the presentation. So 40% of that would be 500 beds. So this 1,235 beds are part of the 2,112 beds, which are all operated by the company and does not include the FOFO or the FOSO beds at all.
Understood. And where are the additional beds, the difference? Like, as in between 2,100 beds and 1,200 beds, what is the difference in regards to?
Sorry, can you come again on that, please?
Why is there a difference in between the operational beds and the total capacity? Are the remaining 900 odd beds not operational or how is it? How
yeah.
should we interpret this thing?
Correct. So, as we see the occupancy ramp up, we will see that these operational beds will increase. So, at the moment, the 1,235 beds are beds which are, manned by nurses and paramedical staff, there are about 500 people, 500 to 550 is the nighttime occupancy. The daytime occupancy is always 10 to 15% higher than that. And essentially, as you see the occupancy ramp up every year, gradually we'll have to increase these number of beds. And we have mentioned in some of our earlier calls that from 1,235 beds to go to a operational beds of 2,000 plus, it will require a capital expenditure of only about 15 odd crores. So largely, most of the capex has already been done for these balance beds as well.
Understood. And apart from this, is there any planned capacity which you are looking in the company-owned and company-operated beds? There is one in Santa Cruz and one in Nashik, but are they included in this figure?
No, they are not included, Sanket. So these are the hospital beds that will be added in the years to come. So, we have not included them as part of the capacity as yet.
Okay. So, apart from these two projects, are there any other projects where you would be going in the company-owned or company-operated model?
So, Sanket, we are continuously evaluating many projects, on a weekly basis. We get a lot of opportunities because, as you know, a lot of consolidation is happening in the industry. So, as and when there's something material that comes up, we will definitely disclose it, in our calls.
And secondly, in regard to the Shalby consensus, the total capacity is 60,000, right? Or can we increase it further?
Yeah, so Mr. Dasgupta also is on the call. I think he will be able to take that.
Yeah, Sanket, the 60,000, when I say 60,000, it's 60,000 components for the total year, which is around 5,000 per month. At this current moment, if we have all the machines running with these two shifts that we operate, we can do 60,000 components per month. Right now, what we have around 28 machine people, which includes finishers and machinists and the machine operators. We have three categories in the workflow. So with that, we are currently operating between 2,500 to 3,000 components per month, which basically means around 36,000 components per year. We are now ramping it up to get it to the 60,000 per month level by adding more number of people on the shop floor, but not increasing the shifts. What happens is, in order to get into the 60,000, we will be adding more people. And by the end of this year, we expect to reach to the 60,000 level. Our total capacity, we could ramp it up to close to 100,000 to 120,000 components in the same infrastructure by adding a bit more number of machines and more manpower, which is the next phase we will talk in the later stages. But right now, we are aiming as a step-by-step basis from a 2,500 to 3,000 components per month to a 5,000 per month by the end of this year. Does it answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you for answering that. And just a small clarification, out of the 100 crore projection which we have given for FY23 out of Shalby consensus, how much would be the internal usage for these things?
It will be around 15 to 20%. So if it's around 100 crores, 15 to 20 crores is expected in Shalby internal, and the rest would be used in U.S. and Japan. Having said this, we are benchmarking ourselves as a target of 100 crores, but we will certainly plan to exceed that because we have plans to launch in Indonesia and in some of the other markets going forward. Plus, we have plans to distribute to other hospitals in India as well. Not only we will do it for internal consumption, we are receiving a lot of queries and demand from other hospitals and other surgeons across India to use our consensus branded implants, which we will slowly launch going forward in this year.
And on the TUX project, can you tell us about more about the product potential and how big an opportunity can be in the coming years?
Yeah, I would love to answer this, but we have the world's largest joint replacement surgeon in the room. So if Dr. Vikram Shah can answer about TUX, he is the right person to say. Dr. Shah, please.
No, sir. I think he's just gone to the OT. So I think he can come back and
I will answer.
Yeah.
He's the best person. But having said this, Sanket, quickly, TUX is the unique kandal knee. So basically, when you look at the knee, it has two kandals, right? And sometimes what happens, it's called the partial knee, where at the early stage of osteoarthritis, your medial compartment gets worn out much faster than the lateral compartment. But then you don't need the full knee to be replaced. What happens, that's where the unique compartment or partial compartment knee has come up in place. And this is there for all companies. What makes our product unique? The unique compartment knee, first of all, it's a fixed bearing knee. Secondly, it has taken inspiration from one of the most successful unicondylar knees in the world which has been done in a long period. It has been designed by a doctor in Texas called Dr. Richard Reitman, who is one of the largest unicondylar knee replacement surgeons in the U.S. He has already started using it, and he is now helping us get a lot more surgeons into the fold on unicondylar knee. So TUX, as you call it, is a flagship brand of ours going forward. We will not only use it in the U.S., we will also use it in India going forward when we get to launch in India as well.
Thanks for answering all the questions and best of luck.
Thank you, Sanket.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Avinash. He is an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, so far as consensus is concerned, when we've given a target of 100, and we've also got these approvals to to sell the product in India, so what could be the possible sales other than Shalby in India, sir, so far as the orthopedic business is concerned?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So the way we are looking at it, we want to progressively go into India. We do not want to go right completely all out because it takes time. So you need to get the right people in place. We already have a person who's the heading up our business in India, a person who has 25 years of joint replacement selling in one of those multinational companies. We have recruited two more people, one in the eastern side as well as the international side of Bangladesh and Nepal. We're getting into opportunities there. As well as we have recruited a person who will be covering western as well as parts of southern India. We are recruiting one more person in northern India. So while we assimilate and get people in, we would be looking at first our internal consumption in Shalby to ensure that we are able to take care of our internal consumption within the Shalby hospitals. And then we will slowly venture into other areas. So having said this, I would like to repeat again, we are receiving a lot of queries, a lot of excitement on the Concerns and Shalby brand in India, and a lot of surgeons have personally reached out to us asking us that they would like to use our product. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of potential. We will slowly realize this potential going forward.
Just based on the feedback, do you think that the Indian business can scale to, say, maybe in terms of a number, maybe 60,000 units over next 2 to 3 years? Is that a likely scenario?
Yeah, there is. But having said this, we need to understand. So in a business, as you always know, it's not only about top line. We manage our top line and our bottom line pretty well. When you look at the profitability, our profits when we sell it in the U.S. is far higher than what we sell in India. So what we are doing, do we want to deprive our patients in India? Certainly not. So we have a short-term, a medium-term, and a long-term strategy. When you look at a short-term strategy, is to ensure that we serve our customers in the U.S. who have been waiting for so long. So we have to ensure that our production matches our customer demand in the U.S. first. And along with that, we would like to serve our internal consumption in Shalby. And then progressively, we'll go into several of these hospitals that you are talking about, not only in India, but in the other parts of Southeast Asia and Middle East as well going forward, and Bangladesh and Nepal. So to your question, yes, there's a lot of potential. But having said this, we need to balance the potential versus the supplies that we could make along with some of the resources. What we want to do is we want to do a quality job. We do not want to rush into things and get into a situation where we do not service the quality which our surgeons expect out of a brand called Shalby.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Avinash. We have the next question from the line of Mr. Puranwala from Elara Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. So my first question is with regards to the margins, what you're making in your new hospital, which is 0 to 5 years, as what you mentioned in your presentation as well. So would like to understand that, you know, what are the kind of investments you will have to make for lifting the EBITDA margins in hospitals where, you know, which are of less than 10 years from the current 16-18% range to say almost the 37% EBITDA margin range what you make in hospitals with about 10 year plus?
Yeah, so in terms of the capital expenditure, we have projected a capital expenditure this year of about 27 crores across the group level, across all the hospitals. And out of that, about 17 odd crores will come in from the non-flagship units, which is basically the newer hospitals, which are between 0 to 5 years and 5 to 10 years, right? And in terms of, you know, the EBITDA margins, we have done EBITDA margins of almost close to 20% across both the groups, you know, across 0 to 5 years and 5 to 10 years. And there is still room to kind of, you know, for the operational leverage to kick in. So, you know, we will stabilize at about 23-25% EBITDA margins going forward. So, I think that would answer your question.
Yes, sir. So, but 23-25 is what we're expecting in the next 2-3 years or next year?
No, absolutely. We would be expecting in the next 2-3 years.
Okay. Got it. Got it. And so, a couple of questions on your Q4 numbers. So this quarter, I mean, the occupancy, if I see from Q&Q basis, has fallen to 40% as compared to 42%. So is there any impact of the third wave of COVID or the Omicron wave? And secondly, on the inpatient count as well. So your inpatient count has also gone down a little bit. While that would have been compensated by the outpatient numbers, but some color on that part would be quite helpful to understand.
No, it's a fair point. So what has happened is, you know, in the first month, which is January, the Omicron wave hit, India. And during that quarter, during that particular month, in fact, the elective surgeries were comparatively much lower. And at that time, we did not have a lot of influx of COVID patients, which has usually been the case. Usually what happens is when there is a COVID wave, we had an influx of COVID patients which compensated for, some of the loss of elective work. But in this particular month of January, that did not happen. Having said that, February and March were very, very strong for the company. And in fact, in the month of April, we have already clocked the highest number of knee and hip replacements done ever in the company. We've crossed more than 1,100 in the month.
Got it. And so my final question is, on are we guiding anything on the hospital growth for FY23?
Yeah, so internally, we have set a benchmark to grow at 20% from the FY22 levels. We would be aiming for about, we did about 650 crores in FY22. We'd be expecting a 20% growth on that in FY23 across the group, across the hospital, across all the hospitals.
Got it.
Yeah, just to add what Chennai is saying, I think it's important to know, if you look at our performance of the Shalvi Hospital Group, from if you take the last 15 years, which is 2008 to 2022, you'll see we have been consistently a CAGR growth, revenue growth of 21% on revenue, and an EBITDA CAGR growth of the last 15 years of 23%. And so basically, the idea is very clear. We would continue to ensure that our revenue growth remains at plus 20 and our EBITDA growth remains at 20, at plus 20. So that would help improve our EBITDA margins, as Shanay was pointing out, to 22, 23, 24% going forward. I hope that helps substantiate the answer from Shanay as well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Very much.
We take the next question from the line of Surya Narayan Patra from PhillipCapital India. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Sorry. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just a couple of questions. First, on the hospital side, sir, obviously this was one of the strong, this year we have reported one of the strongest performance in terms of revenues and despite of impacted revenue mix, we have still managed to deliver around 22% kind of margin this year. So on a normalized business front, how should one really look at the in terms of revenue growth, if I talk about, then obviously FY22 is not a normalized year. So hence, on a normalized basis, if things will not be COVID contributed and all that. What kind of a growth momentum that we should see in for, let's say, 23 and 24? And how qualitatively the margin profile should improve? Because obviously this year's margin is impacted a bit.
So I'll tell you, we consistently say that, we have room to double, the revenues in the existing capacity that we've built. So if we have done a revenue of 650 crores in this year, we will be able to double this revenue over the next 3 to 5 years in the existing capacity without the addition of the new beds. As Mr. Dasgupta mentioned, we are aiming for a 20% growth, which, has been the historical trend for the group over the last 15 years. Having said that, even if you look at the EBITDA margins of the group over the last 10, 15 years, they have always been in the range of between 20 and 25%. We believe that even without the COVID, going forward, we believe that we will be in that range, and it will only go upwards from here as the occupancy goes up and the operational leverage kicks in.
Okay.
And just to add again, just to add on Chennai as well, if you look at our overall, where are the sources of growth? When you look at the sources of growth, it's about some of the mix of surgery. So if you see our revenues on arthroplasty today is at 29%, whereas our revenue or our surgical mix for arthroplasty is 45%. So today we have done around, so this year we did around 20,000 surgeries. So we plan to add by another 20 to 25% growth in the surgery. So as we add our surgeries, so to your question, a normalized year will mean that more surgeries will be coming into, and that will increase our occupancy level. That will increase our revenue. And when we better our revenue mix of our surgery mix, that will help in better EBITDA. So that's the normalized year plan for us going forward.
Okay. Just slightly differently, if I ask this, if I consider this kind of a growth number, if it is an organic growth and not contributed by, let's say, COVID for FY22, so, and keeping your revenue mix intact in terms of arthroplasty and all that, so what margin it could have been at this revenue level, at this occupancy level?
So as I said, Surya, the margin would have remained in excess of 20% even without COVID for this year.
No, I am asking whether it would be somewhere in the range of 23 plus or something like that.
No, so if you look at a quarter one margins, they have been on the higher side. So, you know, basically if you look at our quarter one margins, they've been higher than quarter two, quarter three and quarter four.
Yes.
Because what has happened is that despite the ARPOB being lower for COVID, what happened is, you know, the average occupied beds for that quarter was 723 beds compared to the other three quarters where we have averaged about 500 beds. So, you know, that operating leverage did kick in at that time, which saw margin expansion. So, you know, essentially, if you see the, if you have to average it out, the quarter two, quarter three, quarter four would have margins in excess of 20%, but below 22%, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. Yeah, this is clear. So my second question is on the, let's say, couple of new initiatives for better growth and qualitative growth, rather, that we have taken, whether this the franchisee owned model or the loyalty card initiatives what we have taken in the recent past. Possibly it is already a year over or something like that. So what is the progress on those two initiatives, whether it has really added to our progress or it is yet to be seen in a normalized year, let's say FY23 onwards? Something on that front? Hello?
Yeah. So basically, yes, absolutely. So when we talk about franchisee, which was a bigger initiative for us, and, you know, essentially we already have the Udaipur franchisee, which is up and running, which is a franchisee-owned, franchisee-operated. We have also converted an Ahmedabad-based small unit where Dr. Shah started from into a franchisee. So, you know, these two hospitals, we have already started doing a lot of marketing activities around it. We have started seeing a lot of patients coming in over there. The further development to this particular model is that we have already signed three more franchises. So we have signed one in Gwalior in quarter four of last year. We have signed one in Kanpur in quarter four of last year. And we have also signed Lucknow very recently. So, you know, the way things are going, we have been seeing a lot of promising response coming in from the market for this particular model. And people are wanting to associate with us on this. And absolutely, it is in the earlier stage right now. But we see that these numbers will contribute very meaningfully in the years to come. And we plan to have a lot more franchisees. We have a target of 11 to 12 franchisees in FY23, which will be operational. It will be a combination of both franchisee-owned, franchisee-operated, and franchisee-owned shall be operated.
Okay.
And this is a solid strategy. Just to add again, this is a solid strategy. When you look at what are the tailwinds that are there in this, so basically when you look at orthopedics is the fastest growing a surgery in India. The reason being because of the demographics and the potential that arises today. Today, it actually, if you look at the potential perspective, there could be actually be 15 lakh orthopedic procedures or joint replacements that can be done in this country today for a year. But as we do, not more than say 2 lakh to 2.5 lakh procedures. So there's a huge potential. And where will this potential come in? through not only in the tier 1 cities, but also in tier 2 and tier 3 cities. So when you look at the strategy, Shalby is the largest orthopedic center in the world. So it has all their expertise and the competencies that are in place. So what we are doing is we are lending this expertise by partnering with the hospitals, which are very interested in tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3 cities to capture all the patients who would not travel so much going forward, but would like to have a Shalby type competence and capability closer at home. So the strategy is solid. As Shanai rightly said, it takes a bit of time to get that momentum going. We've already signed many of the MOUs. We will be signing 3 or 4 more MOUs in the next two quarters going forward. And we aim to get into 50 partnerships over the next 3 to 4 years through this franchisee model. So we believe it's a solid strategy and will give us rich dividends to our Shalby group going forward.
Okay. Just on a longer term, this thing. So the, when you say that 50 kind of arrangement, franchisee model, so in terms of the mix to the overall volume that we would be achieving, so how much it could be? It would be of the total service activity?
It all depends from the which stage it is. For example, so today we started Udaipur, right? So Udaipur we launched around in the start of the third quarter, I would say, start of the third quarter. We have done 67 surgeries till date. So next year definitely we plan to do close to double of the surgeries that we are doing in Udaipur SOAC, which is yet around the 48% growth in quarter four alone over quarter three. So you can see that growth that is coming up. And if you look at the SOCEs, we are getting into a 30, 25 bed hospitals. So we expect this will be ramping up going forward. To answer your question, do I have an answer in terms of what will be the exact number of surgeries? No. But when you look at the potential, we believe this is a solid strategy that will give us rich dividends going forward.
And Surya, I will add to that. In fact, we are seeing a lot of ripple down effect of, having these FOFO and FOSO centers, because we see a lot of influx of patients from that particular city in our group hospitals also. So say, for example, when we started Udaipur, now, what has also started happening is that because of that, we see a lot of patients coming in from Udaipur to our Ahmedabad hospitals, to our Jaipur hospitals also. So it has, a kind of real benefit, so to say. Yeah.
Sure, sir. So just last question relating to this consensus. So, see, the objective here is to understand the inclusive growth of Shalby driven by consensus. So let's say the theoretical understanding initially what it was like, the input or captive requirement of the implants can be fed by consensus. So could you give some sense of what is the, in terms of the volume that we would be consuming at this juncture from the other brands, and percentage of that can be replaced with the internal consensus requirement. And whether it is at the discretion or of discretion of the patient that only can be done, or it is we can decide about which plan that can be used for which patient, something on that sense. But because what volume of our current captive requirement can be fed from consensus, and hence what overall profitability improvement led by that can be achieved. Is it possible to get a sense currently?
Yes, sure. I can give you a good understanding of that. So when you look at, as I said, so basically, if you see, out of the 100 crores, around 15 to 20 crores will be coming from the consensus for the current year, current fiscal year, right? So 20 crores means if you divide it by an average selling price, it will be around 2,000 to 2,500 implants. He said very clearly that we do close to 12,000 implants in a year. Right? So if you could do the maths, you can understand the 2,000 or 12,000 will be the first year going forward. That means it will be definite that there will be other implants that will be also used
in our consensus in our shall be hospitals going forward. To your question, it all depends. So when you look at how a surgery is done, when a surgeon looks at the patient, he or she decides on what implant would be the most suitable going forward. Obviously, the patient is spoken to about what brand is being used, and we also take the advice of the patients of what is their preference. Having said this, we give them an option that these are the implants that are available, and when we choose, we do a very stringent quality check in terms of the product that we use, including Consensus. As I think I have mentioned it earlier, Consensus is a brand which has been implanted more than 60,000 knees and 40,000 hips in the world, especially in a stringent market like FDA, which is controlled by FDA in the U.S., and we have zero product recalls. So similarly, like every other brand that is used in Shalby, Consensus also has passed through this test. So going forward, we will try and use more Consensus with the consent of the surgeon and the patient in Shalby. But right now, to your question, next year, or rather this year, full year 23, we expect around 2,000 plus implants of Consensus to be used in Shalby, which will be progressively increasing going forward.
Okay. Just for the expansion of the overall Consensus base, so do you think do you find a necessity of a larger capex for scaling up this operation further? Because now you are registering in new markets, as you mentioned, Vietnam, Indonesia, Malaysia, like that, and also want to enter deeply into the Indian market along with the kind of a progresses what you are witnessing in US and Japan. So is there a kind of a definitive need for a larger capex for Consensus?
No, right now, as I said earlier, when I look at the full year 23, when we get into 5,000 components per month capacity production, that would be enough to take care of our aspirational growth for our full year 23. So we do not need any capex. The investment that we need is only on manpower, on the shop floor people, where you need first of all recruitment of people and then training them to be able to produce efficiently. So to your question, no, we require very minimal capex, which mainly is in maintenance for this full year 23. But full year 24, we will see if there's need for capex to expansion, we will definitely expand. We have room for expansion, and we will certainly expand. To your question again, our aim is to fully bleed the assets of the corporation, and out of fully bleed assets, we aim to do 120,000 components, or that is around 30,000 joints internally manufactured within our plant, as well as if need be, we are looking even to partner with other companies to manufacture going forward. But those are long-term strategies, which we have it in our playbook, which we will discuss as we get into other investor calls going forward.
Just one extended one, sir. When do you think this break-even to be achieved for Consensus, or at what scale that you expect break-even to be achieved?
So we will be breaking even at the end of this full year 23. So when we talk hopefully in the last quarter of the early quarter of next year, we should be able to proudly say that we have broken even, which could again be a record in an implant business, because implant business takes time to break even. And we have been managing it so well, efficiently, as well as increasing our profit mix, as well as increasing our revenue, that we can confidently say that we'll be breaking even by the end of this year.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who has a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. As we do not have any further questions, I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Dasgupta for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you again. For participating in this investors call. As you know, this is the year-end call, so it's very important, and hopefully we have been able to answer most of your queries and clarify some of the things that you wanted to ask.
Having said this, we are always there to please reach out to us. If you have further questions, you have our numbers, we have our email. But this has been a solid performance. And every company, including Shelby, is on the basis of some rock-solid foundation of strategy and execution. And we believe not only having a rock-solid strategy, we believe in execution. If you see the numbers, they speak for themselves. And we have some very solid and robust plans, as you've said. And we would like to share with you, all of you, going forward. So thank us. Thanks for being with us. And thanks for all your best wishes. You have a very good year for Shelby in full year 2023. Thank you again.
Thank you all. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Elara Securities Private Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.